Hello and welcome to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith and I am joined today by Amanda Ryan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Excellent. Now, you must be feeling, are you still feeling the sense of jubilation that Bill C-16 has finally passed the Canadian Senate here in Canada?
I'm trying to absorb that it actually happened. We've been fighting so long to get this bill through that when the vote finally came through and we actually had it, I kind of looked around and thought, really? Is that it? And then jumped up and cheered. But it's been more a sense of satisfaction and relief as opposed to jubilation. It's just time to get this bill through.
Mm-hmm. Now, for our listeners across Canada, but also in New Zealand, Bill C-16 was an act to amend the Criminal Code and Human Rights
Act
of Canada, and it would be to add gender identity and gender expression to both of those. In effect, what does this bill actually do?
In its simplest form, it's simply discrimination protection for trans people. That's really all it was ever intended to do. It got blown out of proportion in many, many ways, but the bottom line is it's just discrimination protection.
And so, how has it taken so long to have just basic protections? Because, I mean, for folks listening, I think what we've got here is, we'll use radio as a good example, because radio is a federally regulated industry. Much like lighthouses and canals, two of my other very favorite examples. So let's say you are going to take a pee in a lighthouse, which, you could well do if you're in Cape Breton and listening, and you're like, you know what, I want to take a pee in the lighthouse, in the washroom. In lighthouses, up until very recently, they legally could discriminate against trans people.
Mm-hmm. There were no regulations there because that lighthouse would fall under federal legislation. Mm-hmm. So there was no specific protections for trans people in that lighthouse. We could always argue a human rights case under sex or under disability, because they consider that we have a mental disability, or sex is just a very vague way of talking about trans people. But to have gender identity or expression in the new bills, the acts and the criminal code, specifically points to trans people, mm-hmm. and is something that we can point to and then follow through on enacting more protections for ourselves.
Now, I want to touch on that in just a few minutes, because I think one of the witnesses of the Senate really pointed that the real achievement here is not the legislation itself, but rather the watershed that will come after it, mm-hmm. and the change in bottom line regulations and business practices and so on. But I want to just touch on very briefly for our listeners, why is it important to have gender identity, gender expression, and sex as separate things to be protected? And what do each of those mean? Just to make sure everyone's on the same page.
Well, I think that really gender identity or expression simply means the trans community. One of the senators pointed out, and I forget her name offhand, she was at one of the hearings, that in the Human Rights Act is race or ethnic origin. It's one lump thing. It's not two separate items in there, separated by the word or. And it's the same thing for gender identity or expression. It's one thing, but just two different words. It's going to take some time to figure out how some of it comes down, but I think generally speaking, most of the fears are overblown. It's simply going to be that discrimination protection.
And I think just for the listeners, sex has been broadly defined as the actual biological, like the physical body. Mm-hmm. And in terms of discrimination, that has nearly always been cases when there's been discrimination against women. So like you said, and actually like was noted in the Senate committee hearings and in many, many times over the course of this process, that unless you were a expert in jurisprudence and you knew that, it could also be finagled to account for trans people, I think it was Justice Minister Wilson Raybould who put it excellent, where we shouldn't expect everyday Canadians to be legal experts, like to defend their own rights. Mm-hmm. I think it's a ridiculous bar to set. Gender identity is what I believe it's how one identifies their own gender internally, and then gender expression is typically, from what I've been led to understand, how you then express
How you overly express absolutely, that identity. Yeah.
So, I mean, for some people thinking, okay, well, you know, that how does that make sense? How's, you know, what's the difference between those 30 schoolboys in London wearing a skirt to protest their school uniform rules differ from the trans community? And I think the really easy answer there is, you know, they're not wearing skirts as part of who they are. Whereas
it's part of a support for someone else.
Absolutely.
Is what that was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that gender identity is invisible, really.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows what your gender identity is. I could hide it between my ears all my life and no one would ever know that I have an opposite gender identity to my physical parts.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you express that gender identity outwardly that you get a reaction from some people.
Yeah.
And I've had very positive reactions, but I certainly get reaction when I do show myself as Amanda. They see Amanda. They know that it's a different expression from what my physical parts are.
Hmm.
But that's what's going to get me in trouble or cause a reaction, period. And the reaction that I've had is, well, good for you, way to go, you should be who you want to be. But, you know, the potential is that you're going to run into discrimination because of that gender expression as well. It's the gender expression that's going to cause discrimination far more than gender identity. So expression's important to be in there.
Absolutely. And like we said earlier, you shouldn't have to be a legal expert to be able to defend that. Now, I think a lot of people, and this comes up quite frequently, a lot of people think that Canada is the bastion of hope and glory, and it's wonderful, and Justin Trudeau is so handsome, and how can anything ever be wrong with Canada? But when we look at the hard facts, I know the statistics. I know that trans folks are massively disproportionately homeless. I know trans folks are significantly disproportionately underemployed or unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between sort of knowing those numbers and knowing the abstract idea that, oh yeah, you know, there's discrimination against trans people, we should probably protect them, compared to what that actually looks like on the ground. Now, you mentioned some people are like, you know, good for you, but do you see expressions the other way where people kind of react in the opposite direction?
For the most part, I generally get a really reasonably positive reaction when people find out I'm trans. Part of it is because I'm very confident about who I am, that I'll tell people right off the bat, my name's Amanda and I am proudly trans.
Mm-hmm.
I find that disarms people very quickly. And generally they'll sit down and listen and have a conversation with me and walk away having learned something. Once in a while, you get the deer in the headlights reaction where they just don't want to hear about it. They're not tuned in at all. And you're probably not going to change their mind, so you may as well just walk away from those people.
Yeah.
But being able to influence many, many other people and increase that number of people that understand who trans people are and how large the trans community is decreases the number who are against you all the time. And the more we can move that line further and further into that direction, it'll isolate the people who are against us and hopefully result in just plain understanding of trans people, which will then create a much better working environment, housing environment, and everything else.
Absolutely. It all comes together. Now, you mentioned the much wider trans community. Now, we know that it came up, and you know, the idea, somebody complained, you know, why are we going through all this effort where some surveys put the trans community at maybe 1%,
mm-hmm.
Which in Canada would be, what, 330,000?
Yeah, only 350,000 or 30,000, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, nothing, you know, only the odd few. You know, I think what people need to see is that, you know, these are 330,000 Canadians, these are 330,000 people who are our friends, our neighbors, our mm-hmm. family members. And discrimination should not be allowed, really, like at
no.
all.
No. Discrimination happens because people don't understand us. And the more and more we're getting into education. And I think that's the key. That's the future of where we're going now. Bill C-16 is a good step. It's only one step along the way, but it gives us a really strong foundation to work from it's an act or a law now that we can point to that says, hey, trans people are now recognized under Canadian law. You cannot discriminate against us. Hopefully it will promote companies that fall under the federal jurisdiction to come up with policies. How do we deal with trans people who are transitioning in the workplace? A person who's already working there and wants a promotion. There's things that you can put in there that simply say you cannot discriminate because the person is trans. And it'll take work. It's going to take a lot of effort. And I think that the educational component is the way forward. I know we're talking about what do we do in Gender Mosaic next. We've been fighting so long for this act, this bill to get through that, frankly, I've only seen a wall. And let's get to the end where we've like passed the bill.
Existential crisis now, eh? It's trying to figure it out.
Yeah, well, now we look at it and say, how do we go to the next step? And we already realize the next step is education. So we want to make ourselves available to companies that want to have a trans person come in and talk to staff, establish policies for their companies, and try to make a positive environment for trans people. I frankly think that the best way for the trans community to move forward is to look at the successes and look at the things that are happening in a positive way and focus on those, because once you establish those and companies start to believe in who you are, it makes it easier for some of the people who are not having the advantages that the rest of the trans community may have.
Now, we'll talk about those ripple effects and how we might see that watershed moment that we talked about earlier just after this. This is Ray Spoon, who is a Canadian, is openly trans, and a very successful artist. This is their song, I Hear Them Calling, and we'll be back just after this.
I want
Hello and welcome back, and I'm joined here by Amanda Ryan, and we're talking about the fantastic, successful passing of Bill C-16, an act to amend the Canadian Human Rights and Gender and the Criminal Code, adding gender identity and gender expression. I will get the actual title of it right one of these days. Now, we talked a little bit about how, you know, this has happened, and, you know, I think you mentioned you really like the Macklemore song, and we'll get to that at the end of the show. But he mentions the idea, you know, the paper's just the start. And I think what we saw when the Ontario Ontario Human Rights Commission, what they did is they released a very, very thorough guide on, gender identity and gender expression discrimination. And essentially, you know, as a business or as a provincial body or anything in the province of Ontario that's not federally regulated, how you can avoid discriminating and kind of in what scenarios might that come up. Mm-hmm. And I think if anyone's thinking, you know, what does that look like, I think that's a really great place to start. And I think that was actually pointed to as the actual real success of these kinds of acts, the real impact, where it's not necessarily, I mean, now you can take a pee at the Houses of Parliament in the washroom that you feel is most appropriate. I'm not sure if that was ever an issue before. Mm-hmm. But now in terms of the government, that they have changed. But really the work now is going to be federally regulated businesses. So that's radio, that's defense, that's canals,
airports,
that's
Coast Guard.
Lightworks, Coastal Guard, the armed services. Although I think they're ahead of it, banking. So there's certainly quite a few industries out there that are federally regulated.
Yeah. Yeah, it gives us a whole new area to work on that haven't been covered under provincial legislation. We've gotten to a point now where all 10 provinces are now have their own provincial discrimination protections for trans people, and all 3 territories.
Oh, fantastic.
The last 2 were the Yukon and New Brunswick, which both passed their regulations just before C-16 was passed.
Oh, wow.
So the country is now covered one end to the other, including the territories, which is excellent. Interesting that it took Canada longer than all of its individual parts.
Yeah.
I would have thought Canada should be the leader.
Absolutely. You would think the federal government would be ahead of us, which makes me think, because we've seen that a lot of, for example, banks seem to already be sort of ahead of the curve. They're already, they've introduced non-discrimination policies that also address the trans community. You know, we're certainly seeing, I think the businesses saw this coming,
mm-hmm.
And have already started to do the work before the federal government changed the rules.
I think that's going to help a lot, that many companies have already put policies in place that we can point to and even use as a guideline for smaller companies or companies that simply haven't gotten around to doing it yet. The federal legislation will have an impact, a psychological impact, that if Canada is doing it, then that's stronger than any of the individual provinces, even if you're within the province that has those regulations. It's a really positive thing for us to have the federal legislation. It just adds strength to what we might be able to accomplish over the next while.
Now, it makes me kind of marvel that in the last couple of weeks we've seen, as you said, you know, coast to coast to coast, every province and territory introduced legislation. Canada dragging its heel, the federal government finally managed to pass some legislation. Now, I heard that adding gender identity, gender expression was actually in the bill, which included sexual orientation being added to the Human Rights Act.
In 2003, sexual orientation was added to
14 years ago.
A long time ago. A long, long time ago. When sexual orientation was added to the Human Rights Act, and I guess the Criminal Code at the same time, gender identity was in that initial bill. It was amended to eliminate gender identity. And that was done in order to pass the bill. It would not have passed with gender identity in there at the time, 14 years ago. A whole lot of understanding has changed in that time. Sven Robinson was the MP who presented that bill, and really, I can't blame him for doing what he did in order to get sexual orientation into the the act, it was a move he had to make. I probably would have done something like that at the time. The trans community wasn't very happy about it. We certainly would have preferred to be included then, but it wasn't going to happen. Yeah. And who knows how many years it might have taken at that point to finally get that in. So fine, get sexual orientation into the act. And Sven Robinson promised us, we had a meeting with him shortly after that, he promised us, I'm coming back to get you. He's had to step down from political office shortly after that. Then Bill 6A came in. He tried on, I think, three or four different occasions to get the bill through. 389 made it through third reading in the House and on to the Senate, where it died because of an election. And then we followed through with C-279.
So Bill 6A and 389, that was, just to add some context here, so Sven Robinson and Bill 6A, they were both with the NDP.
Mm-hmm.
And in 379, well, that was under the first Harper government?
I guess it would be. I'd have to look at the timeline. Yeah. But I think that all
maybe
of this has happened within... Yes, oh yes. I think his only majority was the last 5 years or the last parliament that he had.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with a minority government, which generally speaking doesn't last very long.
Mm.
It's usually a 2 year thing, and that's not time enough to get any private member's bill through, or very, very rare that it would.
So the difference here for people, you know, add a bit of context. The government-sponsored bills, so bills and acts that the government themselves want to put through, they generally get the fast track.
They have priority over private members' bills, yes.
The inside lane, you know, top of the agenda and all the committees,
uh-huh.
and, you know, so they get done a lot quicker. Any member of parliament can introduce their own bill,
uh-huh.
is my understanding.
That's right, yes. Even the party that's in power, uh-huh. A member of their party can propose a private members' bill.
But that gets the outside track, the slow lane,
uh-huh.
further down the agenda.
Yep, it fits in wherever they've got space. It can be a long, long time before that bill comes up for debate or anything.
Yeah. So I think we see a lot of MPs put them in at the start of their four-year term, really hoping for the best that it gets out the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this context is important because those four or five attempts were all private members' bills, all on the outside lane,
mm-hmm.
all not very high priorities for the government at the time.
No. And I think there was a resistance with the Harper Conservative Party to get those bills through anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that made it more difficult that there were delays that happened along the way that weren't necessary, but there wasn't any initiative to get those bills through.
So after Bill 6A stepped down,
mm-hmm.
we had Randall Garrison.
He won his seat and took over the LGBT critic, I guess, would be his position at that time, and he presented a private member's bill, C-279. He and Hedy Fry presented both bills at the same time, and his bill came up first in the agenda, so Hedy Fry's just kind of went off by the wayside.
Okay.
So
Hedy Fry is a liberal
MP.
Mm-hmm. And Randall Garrison is a conservative.
That's right.
Sorry,
NDP. That's right.
You'd have my head for that. We actually did a great interview with Randall Garrison when we were talking about out MPs,
mm-hmm.
And he's doing some fantastic work actually on that, which is great. So I actually, we as the Velvet Studio, we've been around for about 5 years, and I think we picked up the thread at 279. So I think we first started to cover it when mm-hmm. it was passing the final push at the House of Commons, and when it passed the House, and I think it was 6 or 7 Conservative MPs voted in favor of it.
Mm-hmm. There were ultimately 18
wow.
Conservative MPs that voted in favor of it, and that was enough to pass it at third reading and move it on to the Senate.
Yeah.
It was a difficult chore to get it through. The Justice Committee meetings became a real issue. There was an effort made there to kill the bill. And it was almost killed because of basically filibustering.
Mm-hmm.
If the amendment didn't go through, if amendments that were necessary at the time in order to keep the support from the conservative members who were voting in favor, if those amendments did not go through, they were not going to support the bill. And there was a movement in the Justice Committee to stop the amendments from happening, and they actually did. However, there was enough of the amendments, and the core of the amendments were made, that Randall Garrison went to the Speaker and said, hey, we only got missed this one little piece, and it was an inconsequential housekeeping one, and the Speaker agreed to have the entire House vote on the bill.
Oh, wonderful.
And if that hadn't been the case, the bill would have died right there. It would never would have got out of the House.
Now, we did get out of the House, yep. And it was fantastic news. There was lots of wooting and hollering, and everybody was very happy. And then it hit the Senate, where I think it pretty much just hit the floor at that point, I think. Well, how long was it there before Palin rose?
I think it was 2 years in the House and 2 years in the Senate. It was a 4.5-year episode altogether, and it was the whole mandate of that government at the time. And yes, we hit the Senate, and we're all sorts of optimism that we had plenty of time to get it through, and we should have, but there were delays that happened through there, and to my mind, intentional.
Now, I understand, given our own coverage at the time, that it was actually Senator Platt, who's one of the most adamant filibusterers during it, and I think we saw some equally incredible attempts this time round at filibustering. What I mean there, for the sake of our listeners, is adding... I believe he wanted to add like a special memo to all MPs, specifically noting critiques.
There was an observation he wanted to add at the most recent one for C-16. There was an observation he wanted to add at the bottom of it, which effectively draws doubt on the bill.
Mm.
That's the to my mind, that's what I saw as the purpose of that. But fortunately, the rest of the senators around the table at that hearing said, no, we're not going to do that. So that was voted down.
That's night and day to, because of course the Senate itself has changed over the last months.
Yep.
With all the new senators.
A number of really good things happened from the Harper government to the Trudeau government. Senator Platt was certainly antagonistic towards us all the way along, but in his antagonism and in the amendments that he presented, he ended up keeping trans issues in the forefront of public and media attention. We were able to respond to many of the things that he said and keep discussion rolling, and the difference that happened over that period of time was an extremely positive increase in the understanding of the general public towards trans people. Effectively, Senator Platt did us a big favor. It wasn't intentional, and if it had been intentional, I would have called it a brilliant tactic, but it was not intentional. So we ended up with a really positive chance to showcase the trans community, and we did it. And you could see the change in the public attitudes towards us, and then specifically when we got to the Senate. The changes that we saw at C-16 going into the Senate were palpable.
Mm-hmm.
Senators were not simply supporting the bill and yes, I'll vote in favor of the bill, and then we hope we have enough. They were standing up and they were arguing in favor of the bill. And they were not just arguing in favor of the bill, they were arguing vehemently in favor of the bill. It was really positive energy that was coming out of the Senate. And when they finally voted, it was 67-11. And wow, that's a significant number of people on side. And when they did that, when they voted and it was final, they looked up at us in the gallery and they were cheering and we were cheering. Well, some of them were, most of them, 67 of them were cheering. 11 of them were kind of sitting on their hands. And
I could probably name a few of those off the top of my head.
There were a few that were pretty standard in the group. And we gave up on even trying to lobby those people because they were part of that little group at the side that I'm trying to eliminate.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of them were learning, and the understanding, the arguments, the debates that came from the senators were very thorough and well-researched. They understood what was going on within the trans community. And when it came right down to it, they could see the fallacy in some of the amendments that Senator Platt was making, mm-hmm. pronouns, for example. And they just said, nope, that's not really happening. That's not the case. It has nothing to do with this bill. And they just voted them down.
I want to address some of those kind of false arguments made about the bill, because there was a lot of misinformation kind of put out there. But before we get to that, we're going to listen to The Clicks, which I believe is another Canadian rock band this time, and it's the song Dirty Kings. which is fronted by a openly trans man. So Lucas Silveira, I think, is his name. And we'll be back just after Dory King. Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. We're having a great conversation here about Bills C-16 and Act to Amend the Criminal Human Rights Act and the Criminal Code. I got it wrong again. I don't know if I'm going to get it right by the end of the show. We shall see. But I wanted to touch on a little bit of some of the kind of misinformation put out there. A lot of it from Senator Plett and a couple of the other senators who were quite critical of it. I think at one point he mentioned somebody who identified, it was a 34-year-old man who identified as a 6-year-old girl, and that was his, he essentially brought, I think he brought it up in passing, knowing that it was a weak argument, but still brought it up during a Senate committee hearing. You know, when you hear arguments like that, how do you respond to that?
Well, it's difficult sometimes. I know the person he was talking about, and there's all sorts of things out there we still don't understand, and this would be one trans person out of all of us, out of 330,000. Mm-hmm. There's going to be issues that we have within every community, and certainly there are some, but yeah. I think more and more that I look around, we have a lot of normal people in the trans community, and normal being in quotes, who knows what that means actually, but I see very well-adjusted trans people in most mm-hmm. of the places that I go to, and more and more, and especially the trans kids that we're seeing now.
That actually is something worth kind of jumping on, because what has been fascinating from really when 279 passed, as of that point when it passed the House, over the last 2 and a bit years, mm-hmm. we've seen so many trans youth really come forward,
yeah.
and parents of trans youth kind of feeling empowered to kind of stand up and be heard.
Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of the reason for that is Senator Platt. The bathroom amendment that he proposed at the Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee for C-279 got a big reaction. He apparently had over 3,000 emails and texts, most of them chastising him for that particular amendment. Very shortly after that amendment, we saw trans youth taking selfies in the washrooms and posting them on social media. They went viral, just showing the ridiculousness of having to use your biological washroom. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after they did that, the trans kids and their families came out and got very involved politically. That was probably the biggest asset and attitude changer that happened to us all along the way. Because suddenly, some of the sexual stereotypes that we've always been under, the pedophile and the pervert and all that, were just blown out of the water. How can an 11-year-old trans child be a pervert or a mm-hmm. pedophile? It can't happen. It just drew a whole new mentality onto the trans community, because we've got innocent kids, well-adjusted innocent kids, as a matter of fact, with parental support, showing that a well-supported trans person can really succeed well in this world, and those mm-hmm. kids are doing really well.
I think what we're going to see now, and I think there's certainly an element I can't even begin to imagine what it's like for yourself and folks of the same age as you, because what we through the Cancri have learned over the years is with hormonal the one that they give to the kids, what's the name of that?
Oh, the yeah.
Something therapy.
Oh,
reparative therapy.
Reparative therapy, or yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the hormonal reparative therapy that they give to
conversion therapy, I think, is the better word.
And it's the puberty blockers and so on that kind of stop it and give the kids just a chance to kind of really assess early on what's happening and what they're feeling. And I think for some, and they have seen some, where they're like, you know what, that wasn't the path for me. But for folks who are trans and it's identified at a young age before puberty, the transition is just so much more smooth. Mm-hmm. It is a much, maybe not easier ride, but it's possibly a less bumpy ride. Mm-hmm. And I think then we get into conversations around passing privilege. And the idea that for a long time the trans rights debate was pioneered by older folks who, it's an effort to undo the puberty and the development and mm-hmm. the decades of, going through that, because it takes a long time to find the strength and the courage and the fortitude to be your true self.
Mm-hmm.
And bodies don't hang around and wait, do they?
So. No. Puberty happens at a certain time. That's not conversion therapy, as I said. I don't know the proper name either, but it's a suppressant to
yeah.
puberty. It stops puberty from happening so that a child has a longer period of time to determine what gender they are and to be able to follow through on that. Mm-hmm. And the argument has always been, well, it's only a phase. And, well, if it is a phase, then let's use the suppressants to stop puberty for a period of time. And if it is a phase and we realize, oh, nope, I was wrong, I'm a girl and I should be a girl, you can stop it and start going and away you go. However, if it is a trans issue and the child says, yes, I am the wrong gender, I need to be the other gender, well, then you can follow through on transitioning and, mm-hmm. and whatever else needs to take place for that child.
Yeah. And I think when you're saying about, you know, it being an asset, we're seeing trans youth now coming through on the other end of these therapies. And it's clear as day that, you know, you're talking to a young girl. You're
absolutely
talking to a young boy. And it's so much more difficult to go the, oh, that's a man in the dress argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think that I think it's a very sticky conversation around, you know, the idea of passing privilege, and we have to, as Canadians, afford everybody the same courtesy and the same welcome. But I think with younger kids who have had the benefit of modern understanding of modern science, they may have, like I said, a less bumpy road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think passing privilege, it's Caitlyn Jenner got herself in a lot of trouble by saying, I think she said something like, you need to be able to pass to be trans. Yeah. But she didn't say that. That's what everyone interpreted. What she meant, and I listened to the way she said it, passing is an asset.
Mm.
It helps. And indeed, you can fly under the radar if you pass. That's... It just makes it easier. It's very difficult for a 6'8" trans woman to pass because of her height and musculature and things like that. She's going to be picked out. And because she's picked out, people pay attention, abuse, verbal abuse often, and makes it very, very difficult, and even self-image.
Yeah.
To pass becomes simply easier, as I say, but that's not what happens. And most of us don't pass. Especially in the middle age group where I came out. I didn't come out till I was 48. Well, you put a dress on, and yeah, you are a man in a dress for a period of time because you haven't learned. You mm-hmm. never got to be a 13 or 17 year old girl and learn how to do makeup, to wear the appropriate clothing, and at 48, of course, we all try to wear the skimpy things that teenagers wear, and doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Then as you progress, you learn to dress your age, to hone your cosmetics, to do electrolysis and some of the things that help help you make more, to make you look more like the gender you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone through hours and hours of electrolysis, and to a point now that I don't have to worry about shaving in the morning or the stubble that might show through my cosmetics by the end of the day.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a whole different thing being a child, a prepubescent child, and then not having the beard growth happen to you and have to worry about it at the end. And hormones are far more effective on somebody that age than on someone my age.
Yeah.
I might get some breast development, but I'm not going to get an hourglass figure. It's not going to change as many of the features in my body that it would as a teenage child.
And I think when I had a great conversation with a colleague recently, and I said that one of the big motivations for doing the kind of work around advocating for LGBT rights is, and I'll use the example of a gay man because that's what I know. If we're working to make sure that there isn't homophobia, I'm not working to make sure no one's homophobic against me. You know, I'm confident, I have a lot of self-confidence, I worked for the police, I know my rights, I'm running a queer show for 5 years, like I think I'm fine, you know what I mean? I'm personally not worried. What I'm worried about is from somebody who at 20 paces, you know, that's a homosexual, you know what I mean? And it's somebody who doesn't have the privilege of, like you said, flying under the radar. It's for people who, when you pick up the phone and you hear them talk, you're like, that is the gayest person I've heard on the phone in weeks. And it's people like that where the legislative framework and the legal defenses become so much more important, mm-hmm. because that's where you can go, you know, most gay people pass unnoticed because you can't see you're homosexual usually. Mm-hmm. And then there's the odd few where you can spot them from a million miles. But I think the legislation we have to protect ourselves is for those few who can't fly under the radar. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it's very much the same for the trans community.
Very much. Yeah. We're often read by our voice being lower, in the case of a trans woman like myself, that my voice is lower. I was read the other day, I went to the ladies' washroom and the lady was washing the floor in front of me. She had the ladies' room closed, but the men's room was open. And I said, "Are you almost finished there?" And she said, "Oh, the men's room's open." Then she turned around and looked at me and says, "Oh, you have a low voice." I says, "No, the ladies' room's available. Go ahead, right in." And she could have read me at that point, and I guess the rest of me looked okay. But it's the passing thing again. Yeah. It just makes it easier. And for the people that can't pass, the people that are obviously trans, and not even obviously trans, the people who are in the early stages of transitioning, where they simply haven't honed their look yet, still look more the first gender they came from as opposed to their destination gender, it's just difficult for a period of time. There's lots of people that are trans that are never going to fly under the radar, and it is difficult. Mm-hmm. It is difficult for them.
Now, my understanding is that Gender Mosaic is amongst a couple of organizations across the country. I believe there's some great organizations out in BC as well. I can't remember
the name. There's good organizations all over the country.
The BC Trans Alliance is who I'm thinking mm-hmm. of. And can you think of any other organizations?
Alberta has a very good organization. Actually, every province, Winnipeg's got a very good one. Nova Scotia, there's I can't think of the names offhand, yeah. but the one in Alberta, it's going to come to me in about 5 minutes. But
once we're done the show, you can be like,
that's the name. Well, but we've been dealing with them. Morgane was one of the candidates for the NDP in BC during their provincial election. They had 4 trans candidates in that election. Morgane almost took her riding against the incumbent, and the other 3. Did not. None of them won, but they certainly made their presence felt.
For sure.
But they wouldn't be part of the support groups. Gender Mosaic is really a peer support group. Mm-hmm. We became politically active when we got into C-389 in 2010. And we just looked at it. It was a gender identity bill that was specifically for trans people. Our group was specifically for trans people. How can we not be politically active? Part of our mandate actually was that we are not a political group, that we were strictly there for support. But we talked about it among the executive and said, we can't ignore this. We've got to get involved. And we did.
So now that Bill C-16 has passed, and it was a government bill, and the Liberal government managed to get it through, do you see that Gender Mosaic might expand its support element, because I imagine this is going to inspire more folks to be identifying younger, but of course there's entire generations of people who may have never felt comfortable coming out, who may mm-hmm. who may have that strength now. So are you going to be busy, essentially, is
well,
what I'm asking.
I think we'll still be busy. The bill has certainly kept us busy over a long period of time. There are still a lot of people coming to Gender Mosaic who are coming out of their closet at 30, 40, 50, haven't been comfortable to do that up until now. So there still is a place for Gender Mosaic as a peer support group to help that person along. We're not a counseling service by any means, but we do tell our experiences to those people, and they, "Oh, wow, how about that?" And a lot of them are very ill-informed, even though the internet's out there. Mm-hmm. They don't know an awful lot about what's going on with them. They don't know where the resources are. So the groups take care of that. I think we've been talking quite a bit about what do we do next, because there won't be that element of fighting for the bill anymore, but there's still an awful lot of implementation of that bill to do. So we can see ourselves going into the secondary mandate of Gender Mosaic always was education. And we've done seminars for groups all the way along and info fairs and things like that. Well, probably the next step that the group will take will become, well, to be for us to become more involved in talking to companies, corporations, and anybody that's trying to implement policies in their company to make it better for trans people within their company. So we can see that happening.
So they can obviously reach out to you at gendermosaic.ca.
.com.
.com. Mm-hmm. And of course, we will try our best to find, identify, and list other trans resources across the country on our website, www.canqueer.news, www.canqueer.news. And if you're not sure, just... I'm sure there's a way of, I imagine Google.
If you simply Google Gender Mosaic, it'll likely pop up. Yeah. There's another Gender Mosaic in the States somewhere, so just pick the one that's in Canada.
Yeah.
We contacted them and asked them to put a USA in their name, and they actually did. So,
oh, nice.
If you Googled Gender Mosaic Ottawa, you're going to see ours right away.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Now, you thought of Macklemore's Same Love.
Same Love. Mm-hmm.
And why did you
it's,
land on
it's
that
a rap
song?
Song that terminology in it is very appropriate to the trans community. It's very much a song for the gay lesbian movement, but what it says in there is extremely poignant for the trans community. The one line that I like very much in there is that a piece of paper isn't going to solve anything, but it's a damn good place to start. And that's exactly what I see with C16, mm-hmm. that this is going to provide a foundation for us to move forward and improve everything. We'll be able to go to Transport Canada and change one of the regulations that's in there that's very trans negative. Yeah, the whole song, there's many, many points within that song that I picked up on. I thought, wow, that has a lot to do with us.
Well, give it a close listen, and unfortunately, that's all we've got time for now. Next week, we're talking to Eric from Je ne sais d'aime, and we're talking about the creation of the word allosexual and how it's unique to the Quebecois culture. So we're very excited about that. It should be a great show. And but that's all for now. Thank you so much, Amanda, for joining us. And
very glad to be here.
We'll see you all next week.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay, 'cause I could draw. My uncle was, and I kept my room straight. I told my mom, tears rushing down my face. She's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Tripping. Yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant. But those that like the same sex had the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition, playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago.
Bye-bye,
I don't know.
Bye-bye. And I can't change. Even if I tried, even if I wanted to.
Gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion. Gender to skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody, there is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless, rather than fighting for humans that have had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, but that's not important. No freedom till we're equal. Damn right I support it. Press pause. Progress march on. With the veil over our eyes, we turn our back on the cause. Till the day that my uncles can be united by law. And kids aren't walking around the hallway, plagued by pain in their heart. A world so hateful, some would rather die than be who they are. And a certificate on paper isn't gonna solve it all, but it's a damn good place to start. No law is gonna change us. We have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear, underneath it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
And I can't change.